What's up, beer drinkers? How y'all doing this week? We got another great show for you again this week. Not only do we drink and review some delicious beers, in our beer news segment, we got a little fun story about Smokey and the Bandit. We also have another story about Biggie Smalls beer and Kirkland and Buffalo Bills. Not those Buffalo Bills, but the other Buffalo Bills. And of course, we have our cold brew list, the top-ranked college football teams before the season starts. And then in our drunken shenanigans, we talk a little bit more about football and also my week with my parents visiting me down here in Arizona. All right, don't forget to follow us on Untappd and Instagram. Search Cold Brew Podcast. And for all your cold brew needs. So without further ado, it's time for another cold brew. Coming at you, pre-recorded from Cold Brew Studios. I am Greg. He is Sorcerer Chromatic, and we're here to talk about beer.
Yes, we are.
How you doing this week, man?
Well, I'm good. Good week. Good to have my my youngest daughter back. She was visiting her grandma on her other side of the family, so she's home.
Right on.
Good.
Is she talking and walking now?
Well, running around, yes, and then saying a few words.
That's good. Did grandma teach her any new words?
Animals. She worked with her with animals.
Oh, okay. Nice. Very nice. Cat, dog, stuff like that.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Right on, man. I had a pretty good week, crazy week. Parents came down here and hung out all week. And, yeah, just took them around the valley a little bit more. Or actually around the state a little bit more. And I drank a lot of beer this week. Drank a lot of beer.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll get to that later. So, you ready to talk about beer?
Yes, we are.
All right. So I have in front of me from our good friends out of Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, Rough Tail Brewing Company. I have their Peach Cobbler. It's a pastry sour. It's an 8% alcohol by volume pastry sour. It's a peach cobbler sour ale with lactose, peach, cinnamon, and vanilla. And I got this from our good friend, Amanda Bear Lecter. She sent me some beers. I had sent her some Ad Astra beer a while ago, and she just, you know, she messaged, she DM'd me on Instagram, said, hey, you know, I'm sorry, I haven't sent anything out to you. And I go, you know, don't worry. Don't worry about that. So it came in the mail the other day, and it's been sitting in my crisper for a little bit. I'm like, I got to bust this thing out at some point. So, yeah, Peach Cobbler, Pastry Sour, The Lovin' from the Oven Series by Rough Tail Brewing. What do you got?
I got a beer that I have haven't found too much about online for description.
Yeah,
but it's from our good friends at 21st Amendment Brewery. And let me take a tangent here. I'm just gonna go. You know, I'm kind of I guess what I want to say is I kind of want to help the brewery. I'm making a conscious effort to help the breweries in my area more.
Right.
So what happened to Anchor won't happen again. No, I'm not saying I'm going to buy enough beer to prevent that. However, I'm going to be mindful and try to contribute. So this one for 21st Amendment really caught my eye. I've definitely been happy with a lot of their beers. I haven't been to their spots as much as I used to. However, you know, things change, and who knows? Maybe I'll be back next baseball season or whatnot to visit there's establishments before a game or something. But what that said, I have their Pumpkin Haze IPA.
Hmm. All right.
It's also called a spooky. Yeah, this style stuck out to me because, pumpkin beers are coming in fashion this time of year already.
Right.
And, it's a hazy style pumpkin.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, okay, well, the traditional hazies, they get kind of sweet and they want to add some pumpkin flavor to that. Let's see how it goes down.
Very nice. Yeah, I'm fucking way interested in how it came out because I don't think I've seen anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, good for them too for trying to, be a little innovative for a seasonal.
Yep.
And, the whole cliche now is if you want to sell a beer, throw IPA on the other name, right?
Or hazy.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So, go ahead.
No, real quick, and then again, showing some love from 21st Amendment. Just want to shout out, their Brewfee series, very popular, but their Heller High Watermelon, that took off. They got like a mango and a pomegranate variant. I don't know if they have a tropical fruit, or I think I'm getting that confused with one of their Brewfee can arts. But going back to Fireside Chat is one of my favorite. And then what's the other one? The Monk's Blood, or is it Blood Monk or Monk's Blood or something like that?
Man, I'm so far removed these days from 21st.
What about the monk in the name? No, I do remember now. It's Monk's Blood.
Oh, sorry.
That was one of the first Belgians I liked. The American craft Belgian styles that I like.
Gotcha.
Supporting them and checking out their beer. Real quick, too, description-wise, again, not a lot on this bad boy.
Right.
But it is described as part of 21st Amendment's Chalkboard series. Spooky Pumpkin Haze is a hazy pumpkin IPA brewed with Comet and Citra Hop.
Very nice. Right.
And, real quick, one more. Got to get my act together over here. This bad boy comes in at 6.80 ABV.
Right in the sweet spot. All right, so this peach cobbler pastry sour is a sour. I mean, it hits you right there, right in the jaw, right in the corner of the jaw. But the vanilla and the cinnamon are actually very, very noticeable in the finish. When you first drink it, it's all peaches and cream, and then in the finish, the cinnamon and the vanilla come through. There's the cobbler right there, and it's really good. I don't know if far be it for me to say it's gonna mess up my stomach, but I'm kind of preparing for it because most of the time these sours do, 16 ounces of it. It sometimes weighs, but right now the initial taste is amazing. They did a really good job at capturing all the flavors that they put in there. And kind of like I mentioned, they come out like at different parts of the taste, the tasting process up front to the finish. So very good. I like it.
One more sip while you were talking about your beer. I was drinking mine.
Yeah.
So interesting. It's very light mouth, like light mouthfeel, very pumpkiny and spicy. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's got an interesting hop note on the end. It's got some sweetness to it. So it's checking off a lot of characteristics for a hazy IPA. Now, the light mouthfeel, okay, that's not there because in my experiences, they do tend to be a little thicker, especially if they're unfiltered. But it's got some sweetness to it, and it's got a little happiness to it. However, it's interesting how the aftertaste, the finish, you feel a little conflict between the sweet pumpkinness and the haze. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. It's not off-putting. It's just different.
Yeah. It's two styles you wouldn't think of coming together. They brought them together.
There you go.
All right, we will rate our beers later on during our untapped portion of the show. Just search Cold Brew Podcast and friend us, and we'll friend you back. But right now, it's time for some beer news. All right, as I was going through my beer news stories, I happened across one that it didn't hit my radar till now, so I didn't really prepare it too well, but I just had to bring it up. There is a hotel in Golden, Colorado that's paying tribute to Smokey and the Bandit Coors Beer Run. Let's see here. I don't know. Do you remember the actual story of Smokey and the Bandit, or the plot?
Yeah, but real quick, is the hotel just a parking lot full of old Thunderbirds?
Thunderbirds or, and 18-wheelers.
Firebirds
and, yeah, and 18-wheelers.
Yeah. Trans Am, there you go. Jesus Christ.
Well, you'll get it eventually.
Okay, so yeah, the original one was, and it's actually like a switch of roles too, where he was going to be he's a bootlegger, and he was supposed to get Coors across the Mississippi, right?
Yeah, from Texarkana to Georgia.
I thought he was going all the way from Colorado to right across the river. I thought that was whatever, you know. And then I guess the Bandit was actually a trucker. However, he just wanted to ride the spotter car because he just wanted to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, they did a role reversal there, but you wouldn't known it by the way they both drove.
That's true. Well, I mean, his friend was a trucker too. I mean, he just
Jerry Reed.
Yeah,
and he sang the Eastbound and Down song. Anyway, the movie buffs can book a reservation at the Eddie Tap Room and Hotel for a curated experience that is sure to satisfy fans who are Eastbound and Down, loaded up and trucking. The package, which starts at $900 for two people, includes a trip to the Rods and Bods Museum, which showcases many cars made famous on the silver screen, and a guided brewery tour in Golden, three-course dinner and pairing led by a hotel Cicerone, and a life-size cutout of Burt Reynolds that guests can keep in their room. Guests also get a six-pack of craft beer upon arrival at Coors Banquet gift package. So I guess you don't have to drive all the way down to Georgia in a certain amount of time. So Big Earn and Little Earn are there to pay you off. Anyway, I just thought that was a fun one.
You know, I mean, here's the thing. I don't know how many like cult following movie buffs are in the Smoking the Bandit. You know, because there's like a lot of Back to the Future buffs that are into the car. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of Trans Am fanatics out there. However, a lot of them don't do the Smoking the Bandit because too many people do Smoking the Bandit.
Yeah. No, I get that. Yeah. So it's $900 is really not that expensive. That's actually pretty good for two people.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't want to cut out of Burt Reynolds in my room though. That's kind of weird.
It's going to be a show contest.
You wake up in the middle of the night all half drunk and you got to go to the bathroom and you see a cutout of just a silhouette and you wake up in the morning, it's all thrashed because you went to town on
it. Shit in the face. No, but the listeners, they should enter a contest. If they pay half, you and them will go check it out.
All right, yeah. tell me when you enter, let me know.
Oh, geez.
All right, here we go. Next one. Brooklyn Brewery releases a limited edition cans and bottles featuring Notorious B.I.G. Brooklyn Brewery is celebrating hip-hop's 50th anniversary with limited edition cans and bottles of its most well-known beer. It's on their Brooklyn Lager and Amber Lager beer. And it's got a picture of Biggie on the box of beer, the case, it's just a box. This looks like a six-pack box. And then also, he's also on the can art, too. To coincide with the release, the brewery also launched the special Biggie Smalls themed capsule collection of limited edition apparel and accessories. I gotta look for it, because I know we get Brooklyn Brewery out here. I gotta check it out. And I do like their Brooklyn Lager. It's a malted lager. Pretty good. Or I should say it's not a malted lager. It's an amber lager. So it's got the darker look to it. It's not light.
That's legit. I wish we had that out here.
I'll try to save you.
Brooklyn's presence really fell off out here. In my humble opinion.
Maybe they got too overextended and said to pull back a little bit so that they don't get too thin.
Possibly.
Let's see. My next story. The multiple brands behind Costco's Kirkland Craft Beer. So many of you know out there, Costco, they have their own brand, Kirkland. And it goes from everything from clothes to food and even beverages and spirits and beer. But who brews Kirkland beer? Now, I know you know one of them. Because you're the one who told me before that it was Gordon Biersch, and you're correct. But if you look on the case of Kirkland Signature Craft Beer, it's pretty easy to discern who likely makes the brews, even through some mild misdirection. Depending on where you are in the U.S., you'll find one of three names written on the packaging declaring the beer's brew and bottle origin. Hopfen und Malz of San Jose, California, New Yorker Brewing Company of Utica, New York, and Bricks and Barley of Stevens Point, Wisconsin. A little digging will bring you to the breweries bearing these DBAs. Hopfen und Malz, if you put that into Google Maps, and the single search results in the U.S. is for Gordon Biersch Brewing Company in San Jose, California.
Yep.
Let's see here. According to the Takeout FX, Matt Brewing Company, the brand behind Saranac, is responsible for the New Yorker brewing. And if you follow the clues for Bricks and Barley, it brings you to 2617 Water Street, which is home of Stevens Point Brewery, which advertises contract brewing on its website. So there are the three breweries that brew Gordon Beer, I'm sorry, that brew Kirkland brand beer for Costco. That'd be Gordon Biersch and Saranac and Stevens Point Brewery. A variety of Kirkland craft beer will contain brews such as American Style Pale Ale, IPA, Session IPA, Czech Style Pilsner, Brown Ale, and Porter. You may also be able to find a Double Bock, a Blonde Ale, a Stout, and a Hefeweizen. So there you go. Those are the three breweries that brew across the nation for Costco and their Kirkland brand beer.
That's pretty legit. I heard, too, a rumor that the brewmaster from Sierra Nevada made the Kirkland recipe.
Oh, okay. Very nice.
Any truth to that?
I don't know. It doesn't say that on here. Not the Ken Grossman guy, but the other guy, right? I always forget his name.
I don't know.
Okay. Let's see here. And the final story I have in our beer news segment. One of America's first brew pubs, Buffalo Bill's in Hayward, California, is back in business. There was much crying into pumpkin ale last year when Buffalo Bill's Brewery, one of the first brew pubs in America, announced it was closing after nearly four decades in Hayward. The brewery has been an iconic meeting place for both beer lovers and community members. It had a special spot in the early history of craft brewing and was said to be the... what the hell is this word? Progenitor? And said to be the progenitor of nation's first commercially produced pumpkin beer. One of its tap handles is even stored at the Smithsonian's National Museum of American History. It's a tragedy, and we're losing a symbol of Hayward. It's hard to imagine how it will be replaced, the then president of the Hayward Chamber of Commerce said at one time. Well, folks, need to imagine no longer, because as of August, Buffalo Bill's Brewery is suddenly back open, and new owner Alejandro Gamarra who runs several Mexican restaurants in Hayward, plans to keep it pretty much the same as before, though he does have plans for spicing up its lineup of beers. "I've been doing business in Hayward since 1993 out of a taco truck," says Gamarra, who now operates four Metro Taqueros, the Mexican restaurant bar, Mexican restaurant and bar, and Casa de Toro. "The reason I share that is I know Hayward extremely well, being here for so long, and I knew Buffalo Bill's, as all of us do, as a gathering place, the place where you brew local beers, the first brew pub in America, and a place that carries the identity of the city in my point of view." So there you go, man. Buffalo Bill's is back in Hayward. Can't you wait to get out there and have a pumpkin beer?
Yes.
All right. And that's all I have in the beer news this week. So you know what that means?
I think I do.
Time for everyone's favorite segment on Cold Brew, because it's my favorite segment. It's time for the Cold Brew List.
So let me ask you this. What do you know about college football?
I know they have stripes on the ball.
Yeah, I know, right? Ain't it a little bit smaller, too? Or bigger?
It seems like it's a little bit, like, yeah, it's a bigger diameter a little bit.
Well, real quick, I'm just going to run down the preseason college football top 25. So it's not the most controversial list yet, but we'll see how these teams fare by the end of the season. All right?
Yep. Yep.
Number 25 is Tulane Green Wave.
Oh, Tulane. That's a new name. That's a name that I'm not used to seeing up in the top 25.
Number 24, Texas A&M Aggies.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Ooh, number 23, Texas Tech Red Raiders.
Oh, Texas. Three T's in a row, too, if you count Tulane.
All right. Well, that comes to the end at 22 with Oklahoma Sooners.
All right.
But then the O is kept alive at 21 with Ole Miss Rebels.
No, I see a trend here.
And then number 20, the Wisconsin Badgers.
Oh, the Badgers.
Then number 19, the North Carolina Tar Heels.
Really? They're good in football too?
Well, they are now, you know, with this new, what is it? NIL deals. Oh, okay. They're getting some players.
All right, good. Good for them.
Number 18, Oregon State Beavers. Not only that, all the conferences are collapsing.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry, 18 was Oregon State, 17 Kansas State Wildcats.
All right.
Number 16, TCU Horned Frogs. They got blasted so hard in the finals.
Oh,
they didn't
yeah.
belong there.
Yeah, that's true. Who should have been? 15, USC, right? Should have been?
I think it should have been Michigan.
Michigan? Oh, okay. Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I think USC kind of like lucked into a huge lead in the Michigan game, if I remember right.
Okay.
Number 15, Oregon Ducks. Number 14, Notre Dame Fighting Irish.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. I heard Manti Te'o was going to react to it. No, I'm sorry. Number 13, the Utah Utes.
What is a Ute?
There's two of them. Number 12, Washington Huskies.
Mm-hmm.
Number 11, the Tennessee Volunteers. Number 10, the Texas Longhorns. Here we go. Let's start getting into the nitty gritty.
All right.
Number 9, the Clemson Tigers.
Right.
Number 8, the Nittany Lions, Penn State.
Whoa.
They haven't had shit in years.
Well, they were blacklisted for a while, right?
I don't know. Freaking pedos. number 7, Florida State Seminoles. Yeah, number 7. Good for them. Number 6, USC Trojans. You heard that their quarterback is probably like going to go number 1.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I forgot his name, but yeah.
Caleb Williams.
There you go.
Future Vader. Okay,
I figure the Panthers, right? Don't they have like 2 or 3 picks in the mix?
They do, but they just picked that short kid. I forgot his name.
Oh, that's right.
Did you see the other day at the press conference where when the Giants were done and they were going to give him the mic? He was like a random coach or whatever, like lowered the microphone.
No, I saw a headline. They were trolling him. Oh, accidentally troll, an accidental troll or something like that. They said an accidental diss.
All right, number 5, LSU Tigers. Wow, number 4 is Alabama Crimson Tide.
Oh, okay.
Number 3, Ohio State Buckeyes.
Mm-hmm.
Number 2, Michigan Wolverines, Harbaugh.
Yep.
And number 1 would be the Georgia Bulldogs.
There you go. That's a good top 10.
Yeah, interesting. I mean, I don't know if they're expanding the playoffs yet, but yeah. College football is really switching up things, you know?
With all the jumping conferences?
The conferences and the NIL deals and the Colorado Buffaloes supposed to be competitive after 1 year with Deion. Mm-hmm. So. Interesting.
Do you agree with the how do I put this? There's been some talk out there because of all the conference jumping that maybe football should have its own conferences and then the schools could stick around with the old conferences that they used to belong to.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. And
like that way it keeps it more,
yeah.
That way it keeps it more regional.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be tough for a lot of West Coast teams to get the competitive games they need during the regular season now.
Right.
And then too, especially for like the basketball tournament. I mean, that's I guess what I say. There's a lot. It's a lot more competitive field just because it's you can get more basketball players versus a football team together. So
yeah.
What I'm trying to say is, you could have these small programs that perform really well. And again, take off in their region and even dominate a small region and still go to a bigger platform and still win. So yeah, it's kind of like football is going to have to be its own entity eventually.
You would think so anyway, just to make the other sports more competitive or keep them more interesting. Anyway. All right. Good list. I'll dip into college football every once in a while, especially towards the end and in the playoffs. But I'm more excited that pro football's coming back, even though it's still preseason. But we'll get to that in a second. How's your beer treating you?
Good. Gone.
Yeah, the pumpkin IPA, you're digging it?
It's enjoyable. Okay. Are we rating beers yet, or yep. Am I?
Yes, we closing? Are. So
I'm going first?
Yeah, just like always, just let me do the... get out your Untappd app, search Cold Brew Podcast, because we're going to rate our beers right now, and you'll see what we rate our beers and which beers we're going to rate before the show even comes out. So you had a 21st Amendment... Mint. What was it called? I know it was a pumpkin hazy, but what was it called?
Spooky.
Spooky.
Pumpkin.
There it haze is.
IPA.
Oh. All right. And none of our friends have rated it right now. It has got 33 overall ratings. What would you like to rate this at?
Well, that's the thing. I'm like do I compare this to a hazy or do I compare this to a pumpkin beer?
That's your problem. That's what that is.
With that said, though, either way I look at it, still, like, if I did it in one category versus the other one, it wouldn't get a higher score. You know what I mean? I'd still probably rate them the same. So with that, I'm going to say a 3.5.
3.5, all right. Right now is an overall rating of 3.65, so you're right there with everyone else. What notes would you like to leave?
It's not great. No, it's fine. let's see. Sweet, pumpkin spice, and hoppy.
Oops, changed my pumpkin spice to pummeling spice.
There you go.
Pumpkin.
This spice will kick your ass.
Spice. Raining blows from above. Pumpkin spice, and what'd you say, Fred? Hoppy. And hoppy. All right, so save and check in. Mine was the Peach Cobbler Pastry Sour by Rough Tail. I like it, man. I'm kind of digging it. I don't know if it's the 8% or if it's the cinnamon and vanilla, but my stomach isn't hurting. So that's good. That's a positive when your stomach doesn't hurt from beer. So I like this one. I'm going to give this one a 4.2.
I didn't go blind.
No. Right. Rough Tail and Peach. There it is. It has an overall rating right now of 3.79. Let's check in. And this one's definitely got a lot of peach. You want to eat a peach? Peachy, sour-y, and smooth. This was really smooth. It must be the lactose and the vanilla. They just give it a nice, smooth finish. Very, like, velvety. Almost like the skin off a peach. All right. And that is that. So yeah, so a couple things. I went to, my parents came out. Our parents came down here for my daughter's birthday, and they stayed all week. And I was like, you know what? We got to get them out. Every time they come down here, all we do is hang around the house till my daughter gets off school. Then we go hang out with her for the rest of the evening. So one day I took them over to the Musical Instrument Museum in Phoenix, where my friend Rachel works. And she was nice enough to take some time out of her day, and she showed us around a little bit, kind of like a whirlwind tour of the upstairs with all the world instruments, and then the downstairs was more of like the American popular music, you know, like with the Prince. They had a Prince piano and a Jimi Hendrix guitar, stuff like that. First off, that place is enormous. I couldn't believe how big it was and how beautiful it was, too. Just the building outside and the landscaping and everything. And then all of the instruments that they have and the way that it's all spread out. And they give you this little box about as big as a cell phone. And you wear it around your neck on a lanyard. And it's got small headphones. And when you get up close to the display, sometimes there's a video playing and you can hear the audio of the video. And so, and then when you move from one to another, it's, you know, as soon as you get close to the next one, it changes over to the next one. So it was pretty cool, man. I had a good time. And not really much about beer, but the next day we went up to Prescott, Arizona, and we went to the Palace Restaurant and Saloon, where, it's one of the oldest saloon restaurants in Prescott in Arizona, where Virgil Earp and Doc Holliday used to hang out. It has since caught fire and has been rebuilt, so it wasn't the actual original building, but you know, they try to do their best to and it was built like in 1900, so it's not like it was built like in 1984 or anything. So we went up there and they had their own, someone brewed beers for them. They just called the SWIPA. I don't know what SW stands for. Didn't look it up. The beer was okay. And then the rest of the time, we just hung out, and I bought a bunch of beers from Ground Control. And I was just drinking those and getting blitzed every night. Well, not blitzed, but I had a little buzz going every night. And the birthday party was fun. I had a good time. Didn't do a lot of drinking at the birthday party because I wanted to make sure, you know, I wanted to play good host. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I had a good time this week. Had a lot of good beers. Didn't really keep track of what I was drinking because I was just living it in the moment. And the party was fun. Had a good time. And but I'll tell you one thing I know I did get. I got the Firestone Walker Double DBA, the vintage series. You know, comes in a little box. So I got that, and that was really good, man. I don't know if you can get your hands on one of those, but that one's.
I know it's out. I want to get it. In fact, okay. Maybe I'll tell you out there. Mm. I don't want to get.
Okay. Yeah.
No. We have some family coming up shortly, and
that'll be the time to get.
Pretty much.
All right. But you know, had a pretty good week, and didn't get a chance to see the 49er game, the second preseason game, because it was not televised in my area. Although seemed like it was pretty rough, man. Seemed like it was from the national headlines from that fight. Now I heard, forgive me if I'm wrong, because you know, you live in the Bay Area, so maybe you heard. Is it true that the fight started because they were arguing about Trey Lance?
Yes.
Okay. Some people wanted him, some people want to get rid of him.
No, wanted to share. I actually took my daughters to the game. So that was their first 49er game.
Oh, were they the children that they were fighting in front of?
Yeah, exactly. My daughter started it. She flicked the guy's ear and ran away. And turned around and thought it was a good fight.
Brilliant.
I know.
How did they enjoy the game?
They liked it. You know, they lasted until about halftime. So overall, they were good. They sat in the seats. We gave them those, those earmuffs for loud noise events.
Yeah.
And they wore them. I was surprised they wore them so well. And, they wanted to sit with us rather than the seats. And, you know, it was just good. It was fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we did a little tailgate. We didn't have much for them. Just keeping them away from running the cars and. You know, yeah. It was just a cool, fun time.
Yeah. Did they enjoy the spectacle of it all? You know, the mass of people?
I believe so.
Yeah. What about the, there's like a little kid zone, isn't there? Did you take him to that thing or nah?
Yeah. You know, it was more of a older kid zone now. There wasn't too much for them, at least on our side of the stadium. I don't know. If they redone different areas, but it was more like pump, pass, and kick competition tryouts versus
Yeah, I knew they had the throw the ball. I think I remember them having to throw a ball through the hoop or maybe kicking through a field goal. But didn't they also have a slide too?
Yeah, that was really jammed up with kids.
Oh, okay, gotcha. All right. Well, as long as they had a good time, you had a good time, your wife had a good time too. Right on. Did you see the fight from where you guys were? Or were you guys gone by then?
I'm probably gone by the time we got there.
Oh, okay. All right. Right on, man. All right. Anything else you'd like to bring up in this episode of Cold Brew? First, I switch lanes.
Without my people, I got nothing to gain. No, not that I can think of.
All right, cool. Well, thank you for downloading yet again another Cold Brew podcast. I am Greg. He is Sorcerer Chromatic, and we'd like to wish you cheers.
Until next time. We raise the bar and we put it in your ear, no matter who you are. Worst come the worst, my people's come first. Worst come the worst, my people's come first. My people's come first.